What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Verzi Effect Podcast Show. My name is Paul Verzi, and you guys are listening to episode 475. And I have somebody on today that actually known through mutual friends, have spoken through social media, and always wanted to get the guy on the show. We talked about it, and we are doing it now. This dude is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated, talented fucking dudes out there. The best impressionist that I've seen as far as so many. And the first person to ever be on both Mad TV and Saturday Night Live. The one and only, the hilarious Jeff Richards is on TVE. Jeff, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here. Thank you.
No, no worries, dude. And I meant that. Like, I'm not one of these. Like, I fucking meant that. You know?
I appreciate it.
You're one of these guys that, like, you just have an array of shit. Like, you're the type of guy that you could watch a clip and from the drunk girl on SNL, which was fucking so good. And
I hate you.
And ahead of its time, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just happened to me. There was a drunk girl in the crowd that just wouldn't stop yelling at me. So I just started doing her to her, having an argument with her, being a drunk girl. And that's the only way I could shut her up.
Wait a minute. So that was where the inception of drunk girl was. Yeah. You were on stage.
Yeah.
Doing a show and a drunk girl was just acting like that. And you just did her.
Not funny. Not funny. You're not funny. And then I'd be like, shut up, bitch. You're a bitch.
Do you remember where you were or no?
Yeah, I was in San Diego at the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Oh, my God. So, dude, that's so cool to actually, like, it must be really cool to go from that to the Weekend Update desk doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have it be realized. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. First, they wanted me to do an update where I talked about my interaction with a drunk girl. And then I was like, well, let me play the character, you know? So then they let me do that. Yeah. It was
that's
great.
That was like, and you know, and I've seen that so many times after you. And I was like, you did it, dude. He was like, you did it first.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who did what first, but that was a fun one, you know, because it was like, you know, you could say whatever you wanted as her, you know, and you could do whatever and anything would be, you could like justify, you know,
yeah,
attacking someone, you know, attacking Jimmy, attacking, you know, just going off, saying whatever, looking any direction. It gave me a lot of liberty to do. I couldn't make, it was easier.
Yeah.
It was hard to make mistakes when you can do kind of anything with it, you know?
Yeah, because she's drunk and she's just so ridiculous that even a facial, even looking away, it just lets you be more free. And when I say like the first to do it, I'm not taking away anybody that had a great, I've seen a ton of comedians even do it on stand-up with a drunk, but like as far as like on SNL and doing the whole lunacy of like she's not even making any kind of sense, I remember that. What year was that? Her inception?
That was 2001.
2001 is the first time you did it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. Now, so you're a stand-up first, or you were doing like improv and then got into stand-up?
I did improv briefly, yeah, in college. I was in a sketch troupe for a couple months, and then one of the guys in the troupe was like, I'm going to go do stand-up. And I go, there's a comedy club around here? Because I'd always fantasized about it. And then, then I went to Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh.
Sure, I know it well, okay, that was the first time you did it.
The first time I ever did it was in Sunnyvale at Rooster Teeth Feathers. I did it once, and yeah. But that was where I started. That was really the beginning. It was a real crowd, you know, and everything.
What is the difference, Jeff, of the – I mean, I know the difference with SNL and Mad TV is SNL's live right then and there, but as far as the audition process, like I always hear about SNL auditions, but I never hear about Mad TV auditions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was a crazy series of auditions. I basically, the Improv recommended me, and Joel Zadak recommended me to Mad TV for the stand-up auditions where they did, like, you know, you do 5 minutes in front of the casting, some of the producers. And so I did that. That went well. And then it was just a series of working on, because I hadn't had any much experience. So I was like trying to come up with like original characters at this time and trying to, you know, pretend I knew what I was doing, basically. So I went to producers like a bunch of times, and I went to network twice. So they weren't, I don't think they were real sure on me, you know, but I weaseled my way in there.
That's awesome, dude. That's such a, like, dude, to be one of the few people to ever be on both, just as a testament to your talent. When you do, because I got friends that I notice this. And tell me if I'm wrong, okay? Because I just want to, when I see somebody doing impression or characters, I have friends, Giannis Pappas does amazing characters. I have friends that do characters. Are you in it so much? Like, I feel like people that are great at that almost really get away from themselves to a point where it's almost like, because I had a friend, he would do a character, and when he was the character, he was almost sharper than his real self.
Yeah.
It was like the character had something that he didn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's almost like some characters think quicker than you do, and then you rise to that occasion.
Yes.
Like Letterman is always that. Letterman is such an expert. It just feels at some point, I don't know when, I don't know how, there's a certain prowess and connection that unveils itself to an X degree. Like, I don't know what I just said, but it sounds like, you know, how he would go off and be an expert about something, you know?
So I almost think there's something in the mind of an impressionist that once you click onto that character, you'll say things that Jeff Richards would never say.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you just did with that. Now, out of all of your characters that you do, and that's what I love, who does a fucking Letterman, dude? Nobody. Nobody does a Letterman. Who does, like you do, but out of all of them, which one do you feel like you get into that person's body the most where it's like you're really like gone?
Boy, that's a good question.
I would imagine there would be some more than others, right? Or no?
Yeah, like I think Robert Downey Jr. kind of, because, you know, just, you know, this certain flippant, you know, astrological, you know, this basis in reality, it's not really reality, but, you know, it's sort of, you know, that one has to talk so fast that I think I get more into that. The ones I have to think quicker in, I think those one I get more into it. And the ones I have more time to think, I can almost screw it up more, but still in it, you know.
That's interesting. So it's like the more you're on your toes with it, do you think you're better because you just have to go?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the ones that are more leaders, you know, like if I was to do Dustin Hoffman, he's more reactive to me. Like he's more like, he would have good reactions to things.
I don't want to go out right now. I just want to stay in and just bundle up. No, I don't want to do it. Don't talk to me like that. Don't look at me like that. Don't talk to me like that. And don't look at me like that.
Oh,
you know, just
God,
like,
God, dude, that is so fucking good. Dude, that is so fucking good, man.
Thank you.
I'm not even just saying that. Like, it's so crazy to like, yeah, because I guess it's funny to you know who I do love doing them too. And I'm sure, I don't know how you feel about this guy. You probably met him and hate him. No, I'm kidding. Dana Carvey.
Oh, I love Dana Carvey. Yes.
Dana Carvey, when he does his, like, even the things like with his, when he does the politicians, he's very big on the hands.
Yeah.
You know, like and I noticed that like each person has the thing that the person does. Like I know when Trump does this a lot. So when people do Trump and they really try to do a Trump, not just the voice, they're doing this. Or like you did the thing with your face with Dustin Hoffman where he kind of, yeah, exactly. It's like it's like you see those things, man, which is wild. So you ever watching a movie and you're going, I'm doing that guy. Like you start to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. not too long ago, I started doing Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You know, and he's just sort of like, you know, what was the thing I used to do? He goes, so you're probably wondering
how are we going to get through all this? I know I am. Here's my advice. Get your hands on a chainsaw. If you can't get a chainsaw, just get a chain, but not a keychain. Keychains are useless. Abstraction.
You know, just like, wow, yeah, they kind of grow in, they grow on me, you know, the ones I end up doing.
Dude, it just makes, like, I see shit like that. Like, I have, like, a couple of them, you know, and I'm just like, and I'm like, how the fuck can somebody have the array, you know, of what you have? Like, I'll do like a Florentine.
Jim Florentine
would be like, he gets very, he pushes it. So I'd be like, yeah, see, yeah, nobody wants to hear Madonna at halftime. Nobody cares. You know, so it's like, but that's, I perfect. Know, no, but when I notice when you watch Jim, he'll, yeah, AC/DC all the time. I don't hear Like a Virgin, Living on a, you know, and he'll just, and he just stretches it. So when I got that and I was able to get the voice, and I used to love to do the Emperor in Star Wars. When he would go, I can feel your anger. I would try to do it. And once I practiced it, it would get good. And then I'm like, how does somebody have fucking 15 of these, like, spot on and longer? So, like, I'll do stand-up and people will be like, and I'm like, man, I want to incorporate a little of that. I watch a guy like you and I'm like, that's insane, dude.
Yeah, you should, though. You should incorporate it. I mean, I think it's just been, like, over time I've accumulated different ones, you know. It's taken a long time to get ones that people like, the ones that I like, the ones that are kind of relevant or relevant, you know, and, but yeah, just a bit of a knack, I think, you know, it's a bit of a knack. You kind of, it's almost like you want to mock the person too. It's a mocking instinct, you know, that I kind of have, that I just, you know, I just like David Attenborough, you know, just overdoing it.
Yeah.
A snowfinch. I'm a curio creature. I'm still not yet born.
You know, just.
You probably, as a kid, did you do that with like relatives or family members or teachers you didn't like?
Teachers, yeah.
Yeah, teachers. You probably, yeah.
Yeah, teachers. I can't think of any right off the bat, but yeah, I would get up in front of the class before class started, before the teacher walked in, and then do the teacher starting the class. Until the teacher walked in and told me to sit down or go to the office, you know?
Oh man, yeah. That's, dude, it's really an unbelievable skill. Now, is it harder to do, obviously I would imagine it's harder to do as a white dude, is it harder to do like Latino or black dude, or is it, do you find those more difficult or no?
Well, I mean, they're not difficult to do. They're difficult to get across on an audience. It seems like more and more difficult to kind of pull that off, even if you're coming from a good place, a nice place. Like I kind of switched up some stuff. Like I used to do a Latino gentleman at Best Buy,
yeah,
you know, kind of bullshitting me, you know? So like, you know, you go in there and he's like, get the warranty, bro. Once you get it, you got it. Yeah. Right now you don't have it. Better not get it. My friend, my homies, don't get out. Don't, come on, get out of here, man. Yeah. And then I switched that to this character I do called Ronnie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He kind of sounds a little bit like Rich Voss. A little bit.
Just fucking me, just like I'm trying to figure it out right now, dude. I'm like, just get the warranty, dude. Just like, right now you don't have it. You know, better not get it, dude. Just like, you know what I mean?
Dude, just I like, do. I do one I think you would like. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I talk about how the Mexican accent in the West Coast is my favorite accent in the world because they sound like, it sounds like they just had groin surgery and they're exhausted. They're like, what's going on, fucker? Shit. I'm fucking like, they always sound like they're hurting. It's always just like, I'm fucking tired, man. I need a nap and shit. Fucking anesthesia. But like, I just find it, I love that. And I love the silliness. And one of my heroes, Jeff, and I'm sure probably somewhere down the line, you too, because of our generation. But for me, Eddie Murphy is why I do this, man.
Oh, number one.
For me
too. Number one for me too. Yep.
For me, like my dad took me to, it wasn't Delirious for me, it was Raw. Because Raw came out in 87. I was around 9 years old, whatever it was. And he took us to the theater. And he was like forbidden. Like, you can't take Paul and Christian to my brother. You can't take them to see. And I was like, you got to take me. You got to take me. He took me to see Rodney Dangerfield in Radio City when I was a kid. But like seeing Eddie, and then you're going, oh my God, not only is his stand up, but he was doing impressions. Like,
right.
Eddie was everything. Eddie was a quick joke, a story, impressions. Like, Eddie was like a play. You know, and I always, so like for me, I always thought that throwing an impression in something to just see the skill and the talent was always really, really amazing. Now, have you had somebody that you've done like reach out or tweet? Like, have you like, has like Robert Downey Jr. know what you're doing or no?
I don't know about Robert Downey Jr., but I had Alec Baldwin reach out and he kind of reached out. What did he do? Well, he started following me on Instagram, and then I just kind of had some DMs back and forth, and because I would do an impression of him, and then ended up having him on my podcast. But the first person was Louis Anderson, when I had a VHS tape of some impressions I did before I came to LA, and I gave it to a guy who knew him, and Louis ended up calling me on the phone. Like, I saw the tape you sent. I liked it. It sounded like me. You guys ready to play that feud? I do that. You ever do that? I do that. And I ended up opening up for him in Vegas. And he saw me do my set. And then afterwards, he's like, you could do me longer. You could just keep going. You could talk about how I like shrimp.
Oh, that's so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah.
Oh. Can you do is it harder to do female too?
The only female person I do is Jodie Foster from Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, doctor. Just give me his 9, doctor. Just give me his 9.
No. You know what you look like to me with that long? Yeah.
It's weird that like, yeah, what sucks is in the times we're living in, dude, it's like you go up there and if you wanted to do, you know, a black dude or somebody like that, and it's like, oh, what does that mean? And it's like, what it means is I'm just, you know, I'm duplicating the voice, man. I'm being funny. I'm doing an impression. Sure. And I'm not trying to do that. So yeah, like the fact that like sometimes people will be like, whoa, you know, it's just what's going on. But it's such a...
It divides us more, you know?
It does divide us more when it actually should bring together. It should actually make people of all races go, oh, dude, you got to watch this guy do so-and-so. It's like, it's not a racist thing. You know, you're at a comedy show. You know what I mean? Like you're at a comedy show and you're watching somebody. It's actually more impressive. You watch some white guy, right? All of a sudden he can sound like, let's say, LeBron James perfectly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, that means that he admired LeBron James. He watched LeBron James. He was watching interviews. And then he was able to do it. And it's like, yeah, it's like, yes, it's a mocking thing. But it's also, what do they say? It's also a love thing, right?
Flattery, yeah.
Flattery. So it's like, yeah, man, that's the thing. It does. It does divide more where it should just make people fucking, you know, be like that. Now you do the what is it? Are you a Comedy Store guy or?
Yeah, all of them pretty much. But yeah, mostly Comedy Store. I started there and was at the door and from there.
Oh, you worked you worked. Yeah, yeah. Dude, that's like almost a, what's it called? A passage, right?
It was tough back then though. It was because, you know, the store wasn't doing great then. You know, that was like 98, 99, you know. So it was like, it was a ghost town. But you know the store, you know, that back door. Yeah. You know, if you worked the back door as a door guy, you wanted to let people in. You weren't allowed to let people in. You're supposed to ID everyone. But then you're door guys, you got to play it cool. You want to let people in that seem like they're supposed to be there. And then you're stopped. So it's like you never win. So it's real frustrating. It was a frustrating job. But
yeah, it was funny. Right before all this, right before the shit hit the fan, I was out there. I was out there late February, early May, and it's so weird how it worked out because I was almost able to do everything I wanted to do out there. I did the big room, the main room. It's the main room's the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that packed, and it was great. I did the Laugh Factory one night. It was great. I met up with some friends out there. I went to a Laker game with the guys from All Things Comedy, and my buddy Bill Burr was there, and we did the Laker game. We did all this cool stuff, and then I come back and everything shut down. But it was funny to see how door people at the like people are doing a set with like a staff shirt on.
Yeah.
And, but the funny thing is they're funny. They're fun. Like, it's not like it's part of it. Like, I don't think people understand, like, it's part of it. It's like, no, that door dude is hilarious. And he's doing that to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a real rare thing, You know, I don't know any place that does that, which I love it. It's opportunity. You know, if you're a door guy, you can get up on stage and you get last minute spots and
yeah. You know. Yeah, no, man, that's how's this now? Has the COVID thing been like? I mean, I know it's probably for you, like everybody else, but California, it's worse than everywhere. Like, because for me, I got to travel. Like, I'm going to, like, now it's going to be like temperature checks. They're doing like, I'm going to Texas in a couple weeks, and it's like temperature checks first. It's private tables set all away. It's almost like everything but getting tested. But I have to travel to do that. California is just done, right?
Yeah, California is pretty much done. I mean, it feels like it at least.
Outdoors, right? You could do outdoor shit, like parking lots and shit.
Well, I guess LA County you can't, but I think outside of that you can a little bit. I'm not quite sure the rules. I know a buddy of mine just did a show. But I haven't really tried to do too much of that. I'm just mostly trying to focus on the online, you know, and just trying to, you know, plan for – you know, if this continues, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the nice thing is too, as like Zoom gigs and stuff like that for an impressionist, it's like almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. It works good though. Yeah. It works real good. Cause my standup's kind of like little monologues, tiny little monologues. So I don't have to wait for, you know, laughs from the punchline. So I can just wait a little, you know, a second and go right into the next thing, like a presentation. Yeah, that's how I've been doing it.
Oh, okay. So now if a corporation reaches out to you and they're like, hey, Jeff, we want you to do like Robert Downey, Dustin Hoffman and all that.
Yeah.
You'll have a set. So like, how does that work with a set? You'll basically have a set list of those guys.
Yeah. Just names. Right. And I'll just be like, you know, I kind of play it like I'm like they're students. Like I did one before and I just played like they're, okay, guys, here's another one. You're going to like this, you know, just and then like, have you ever heard of Robert Downey Jr.? You know, just kind of make it silly.
And you'll have the set list. Like you're going to be like, I'm going to open up with Robert and then I'm going to, okay. That's really interesting, man.
Yeah. Almost like an audition. Really?
Yeah. So I want to get into your podcast. I want to talk about your podcast and stuff, but before we get into that, I always love hearing about the SNL auditions. So when you auditioned for Saturday Night Live, same thing, stand up mixed with original characters?
No, that was just stand up. I mean, just like, you know, one after the other, quick little setup and then do like 30 seconds of the impression. So I did like, I think I did 9 impressions. Maybe it was, you know, less on time, but 5 minutes of 9 impressions in 5 minutes.
So the whole audition was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's like, you got to go and plan. Like there's no.
Yeah. Just one after the other and just get out of there. That's all I was thinking. I just want to make sure I don't stumble too much. Just get these out, make them sound like they're supposed to sound.
When you were done with the 5 minutes, and you did your 9 impressions and you did everything and you walked off. Did you had a sense you got it or no?
That's a good question. I had a sense I did good because when I came off stage, Lorne stopped me and said, good job, and shook my hand. So I just was thinking, he's not doing that on every person. So then I thought, at least I did a good job.
Right. You know, If you
I think the whole thing, the whole thing is like, I don't want this to replay in my mind that my nerves got me on this one opportunity for the rest of my life. So my attitude is like, you know, I'm going to be damned if it's not my nerves. I don't want my nerves to be the thing.
No, dude, I love that.
That was all I was thinking of.
Yeah. And that's what a fuck, you know, that's like that's the mentality. It's almost like I don't have the, like, you know, when, anytime a younger comic asks me something, because I used to do it, where I would put so much stock in a Montreal audition, or I would put all this stock in the things that were like these dragons that we want to slay, right? There are certain, yeah. As a comic, there are certain dragons you want to slay. It's getting into the main club in your city. It's getting a television thing. It's getting to a festival like Montreal. And when comics tell me, I go, you know, I talk to somebody who books a big festival, right? And I go, when do you know? Because we became friends. And he said something wild. He goes, dude, we know within like 30 seconds to a minute, because it's even how the guy grabs the mic or the woman grabs the mic. Whoever goes up there, when you grab the mic and you take the stand and you put it aside, that itself is its own, like, it's just like, oh, okay, are they going up there shaking and all fucked up, or are they going to be like, okay, I'm here and I'm going to, so like what you're saying with the SNL thing, man, I hope people listen to that, because it's like, look, you don't have it anyway, okay? So look at it like, if you don't get it, you didn't have it the day before, but you do have an opportunity now. So as long as you could be your best and, like, you know, kind of just get through the nerves. So it's almost like with you, you got his handshake and you're going, okay, well, worst case, at least that happened. And now I can live with myself.
Yeah, it really was like that. As soon as I shook his hand, I'm like, okay, I must have done okay. I must have done good enough. I mean, good enough to get a handshake from him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can go to sleep.
Yeah, dude, that's like, SNL has always been like, always like a thing where it's like, I always like thought about like that and like doing SNL, being on SNL, writing on SNL, just because of Eddie, you know, and the fact that, you know, the fact that you did that and Mad TV is something that, dude, for the rest of your life, man, you got that. And not many people do, which is really, really a testament to your talent. But let's talk about the podcast. I know how fucking uncomfortable it is to hear compliments. You're just sitting there.
No, I appreciate it.
You're just sitting there like, all right, Paul, can you stop? I get it.
No, I appreciate it. I really enjoy hearing it. Thank you.
Jeff's like, no. Keep. So you just started a podcast, which is so great. We talked. Mm-hmm. We were talking, and you were telling me that you wanted to start a podcast. And this is actually a really great episode, guys. You're listening to TVE 475 with Jeff Richards. You know, anybody listening to this, like, people would always say, podcast, should I start it? I have ideas for it. And when we were talking and I said, I go, dude, you are somebody that should absolutely 100% do it, because your characters are brilliant. You're so funny and talented. And you know, don't overthink it. Just do it. Because I do think that when it comes to podcasts and it comes to creative stuff, people overthink things. And they're afraid maybe to put it out. Like, even when, like, the Verzi Effect went video and I built this studio in my home and all this stuff, I'm like, is this, you know, I was like hesitant in a way, like, should I need everything to be right. And I don't want it to be wrong because this person's doing it right. And maybe, and it's like, no, man, it's like, they just did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really helped me when you said, just jump in. And that's what I needed to hear, because I'd been messing around with the idea for a long time. And then when the pandemic hit, I was like, I have to jump into this. I have to get going on it. But I changed the concept of the show a week before I was going to tape. I changed the whole thing in a way. I went from, you know, my podcast basically is the Jeff Richards Show. For some reason, I'm never there. So I have a guest host fill in, and the guest host is one of my impressions, and they interview my guest, who is, you know, whoever my guest is.
That's so great. So smart. Yeah. So it's almost like Jeff Richards is never there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's never there for some reason. And then it gives me the liberty to kind of, you know, mess around, because it's like that, whoever the impression is doesn't necessarily have to know who the guest is. Or maybe they know them, or, you know, it's nice to see the guests play along, though. I think that's a fun part of the show.
And you've had, I've saw that you've had some big guests on there. I saw you had Alec Baldwin. Who else did you have on there?
We had Brad Garrett, Bob Saget.
Nice. Two nice
guys. Bill said he'd do it in January.
How nice of a guy is Brad Garrett and Bob Saget? I mean, those guys are like, it's almost like, dude, something's going to come out bad with one of you two, because there's no way you could be this fucking great of a person.
Oh, Brad Garrett was great. I did Hannibal Lecter with Brad Garrett. And I was like,
You attended UCLA for less than 2 months before dropping out to pursue a career in comedy. You want to get out, you want to get anywhere, you want to get all the way to CBS.
I saw that. He loved that.
Yeah, he had fun.
Yeah, I did his fun. I did his room in Vegas, man, and I just could not believe how just so nice and like so like going up to the comics, talking to the. Can you do a Brad Garrett or no?
Baby, you know, he's like, Jeffy, baby.
And then I'm coming at him as Hannibal Lecter. He doesn't even, I don't even think he saw the note that I was going to be interviewing him like that. So I kind of got him off guard a couple times. I'm like, you know what you look like to me with that long, wide neck and that curly black hair? You look like a rube, a well-scrubbed rube.
All right, I got one for you. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're just so fucking talented, and I just want people to hear this. So I got one for you. You ready?
Sure.
Dustin Hoffman and Robert Downey Jr. are arguing in front of Santa Claus because Dustin Hoffman – doesn't like that Santa Claus ate the cookies in Dustin Hoffman's house, but Robert Downey Jr. is telling him, what are you talking about? That's Santa's job. You can't be mad at him. Can you do that?
It's just like, you know, it's like an instinct thing. You know, it's like when you're Santa Claus, you have, you know, all that white hair. There's nothing that, you know, inclines you more than a taste of a delicious cookie. That's not the point. That's not the point. Those are my cookies. You can't do that to me. I don't appreciate that. You know, but it's not really up to you. You know, it's like the cookie fairy really dictates who eats cookies, you know? It's like fate, you know?
Oh my God.
That's not the point.
Dude, that is, it's not his cookie, it's the best.
Don't talk to me like that.
See that? And you know what's sick about that? That's why I almost think you guys are, and don't take this the wrong way. I realize what I'm saying, but there's almost like a savant thing. The fact that you can do what you just did. And not only I said in 1 second, and we did not talk about this, right?
Right.
Never called you and said, hey man, just be on. You just said like, hey man, if you want me to do impressions, let me know whatever before we talk. And the fact that I'm like, all right, Santa Claus is down there. Dustin Hoffman's pissed off. He took his cookies. Robert Downey Jr. is talking. And then you just go into it like that. It's like, that is just so fucking nuts, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Dude, it's the best. It's like, dude, it's the best.
It's fun. I really love doing it. It's like, I'm glad I don't hate doing it. You know, some people don't want to do the thing they like to do. You know, they don't like to do the thing maybe they do best, right?
Yeah. That would be a nightmare to do something. And listen, I'm sure there are people that have a shtick that got too deep in with the shtick. And that's all, like, they probably go home. Like, the last thing you want to do is do what we do and fucking hate it.
Exactly.
You know, if you're getting on airplanes and you're like, I got to play this fucking character and I feed my kids. Like, that's like, you know, doing what you love and being like, oh shit, I'm going to try this joke tonight. Or that's a beautiful thing. Like, we have the only job in the world where when we go on stage tonight, we could literally talk about something that happened literally at a restaurant that day.
You can do that. I cannot do that. You're very good at that. You know, stories.
Oh, thanks, jokes, man.
Yeah, I mean, I could never do that. I could do two things. I could act weird, do weird comedy, or do impressions. But I could never do relatable stuff. I guess because I don't have that observational, you know, part that you need. You know, there's like, I could do observational on like facial tics, how they sound, but like you have a different perspective too, you know, how you do it.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like I do think that like, obviously there's different styles and stuff like that, but do you think that that comes from like, what do you think that is? Like, why do you think somebody like you does what you do? And then I always wondered why there's somebody that would tell a story of something that they saw in Home Depot and hit that. And then somebody that would just do, cause it's, you know, you'll go to some crazy place that nobody else is thinking, which is, you know, equally, if not more brilliant than something that's like that. And it's just weird how the minds of comedy work, yet we're both in the same space.
Yeah. And we both have to pull it off.
right? Like,
and we both have to pull it off. That's right.
Like, I could do an impression, but if I don't set it up the right way, and I always found stand-up is easily the hardest place to do impressions in a way, because a sketch, you don't have to set it up. I mean, you set up the, you know, the bits and pieces to do a scene, but to do an impression, it's, I always found it like the harder thing, because you're trying to set it up in a simple way. You don't want to get too bogged down with the setup. And I know people that like to do impressions, they don't do them because they're like, I don't know how to get into it. And that is the hardest part, getting into it in a real simple way. You know how important, how you know, how a setup is so, it's all in the setup in a way, you know?
Yeah, I guess in my mind, I'm like, why can't they just go into it? But I guess when you do it, the way it's just, it's like, you don't want it to be like, you also don't want it to look like you just had a plan where you're like, you just go on stage, how's everybody doing? So here's so-and-so. It's like, you want to find a smooth way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's because it, you know, if it almost feels like an audition too, to the audience, if you're like, here's this one, you know, here's this one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's less, yeah. Cause if you're on SNL or Mad TV, that you're assumed to do it. Like they assume you're doing one.
Right. Yeah. So they assume you're going to do that kind of stuff.
You're going to do that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's weird, you know, cause it's weird when people come to see a show, they don't know who the comedian is. They have something in their mind of what it's going to be like. Like, oh, this comedian is going to do relationship stuff. Cause I love relationship stuff.
Right.
And so I think, you know, impressions, even the, yeah, you're on SNL, so they think you're going to do impressions, but they're not ready for you to do all impressions or something, you know, like, because I basically do all impressions, you know, characters and impressions. So
if you do, so, okay, so let's talk about that real quick. I mean, we usually do, I mean, this one I'm going to run a little longer just because this is fantastic. So I hope you got a couple more minutes.
Sure do.
Because this is great, man. You're the best. So if you go on stage and you headline, let's say your headline in Hilarities in Cleveland this weekend, you're going to go on and you're going to do an hour of impressions and jokes with impressions, right?
Right.
See, right. That's crazy, because I've heard of people that like were SNL alum and they got into stand up later. And then like after a certain amount of time, there was like no hour set. It was like that. And or not just SNL, people that do improv and people that do shows like that. And all of a sudden they get known and then they go up on stage and it's like, you're doing an hour of that, which is incredibly hard.
It is. I think the thing that kind of helps is I do crowd work. I do crowd work and I'll get off track. And also like, I won't go from one thing to the next, boom, 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 boom. I know some impressionists do that. They go boom, 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 boom to the next and they don't come up for air. I'll stop. I'll look around. I'll take some time and then go into the next one. You know, like I just kind of take my time and, you know, just, you know, get weird sometimes or say something weird, just, you know, get off track and then go right back to it, you know? So I don't feel like a machine doing it to them.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It's like you make it so free for yourself where you're like, I'm just going to take a break and talk to this table and then we'll see where that goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have any, like, so were you like an Andy Kaufman guy or like, were you as far as like, I guess if you want to say, I don't know if I would call it absurdity, but like that kind of, like you said, you do two things. You either do impressions or kind of some out there stuff. Who was the people that were you looking at somebody like that? Like a Andy Kaufman or someone like that?
I loved Andy Kaufman, but for me, it was Eddie Murphy when I was about your age with Delirious.
Yep.
And that got me going into that direction. And then it was Kids in the Hall.
Yep.
You know, about 13, 14.
Yep.
Just watching them get into these just weird characters that were grounded in their own reality and just had their own voice and had their own nature to them. And then SNL, and it really was Dana Carvey was like my major influence in watching him do impressions and watching him get into it and wiggle around in it. And you go, well, that doesn't sound, well, that sounds like him, but that's, I see how he exaggerated that and made it his own. He almost made like Impressions original characters, you know, like he owned them so much that they were his, you know?
Yeah. I think Dennis Miller said that him and Dana Carvey or that him and somebody were talking and said that Dana Carvey was the greatest at doing that, or SNL character, as far as really getting into something and just owning something different. But dude, like, putting aside the stand-up with chopping broccoli and the rock star face looking like he's going to throw up all the time, putting that aside, dude, you remember that sketch on SNL, that Il Cantore restaurant, the Italian restaurant, where it's definitely like before your time. I think it was like,
I remember it.
Yeah.
Wasn't that where they
Kirstie
Alley. They'd come onto the date.
Yeah,
right.
Kirstie Alley and Kevin Nealon come onto a date, and they're all way too affectionate. Till eventually, Dana Carvey has a woman on the table with her legs like on his shoulders, and he's like making love to her, dude. It was, and one of the funniest things was Farley. Farley like puts his head, like Farley like goes, "Come have a drink, dude." And Sandler ends up delivering bread in a Speedo. Like, it just got that crazy.
Yeah.
And they kept going, "What? No, oh, Pellegrino, no good." And finally Kevin Nealon goes, "It's not the food." Dude, that is one of my favorite. But like, talk about Dana just being like, so, I mean, dude, it was one of the funniest. It was just like, dude, this guy is like built for this shit, man.
Yeah, he was made to be on that show. I love Dana Carvey. Yeah.
And you met him, like, you know him personally?
I met him a couple times. Yeah.
Well, is he a San Francisco guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. What a monster, man. What a monster. Impressions and great stand up. Like,
oh yeah.
That's so cool, dude. So the podcast, your podcast started, how many episodes are you out now?
I think we've done about 12, something like that.
Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah.
So you're off and running, and you have the whole setup. Like, you just need you and a guest, right? Like, that's.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's on Zoom, and it's, yeah. And then we do the deep fake to my face, depending on which impression. I'll do we did Dustin Hoffman this week, coming out Thursday. I don't know when this airs, but they put the deep fake on you. You know, deep fake.
So you look like Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
Yeah. The computer imaging and all that. Yeah. And, it's just, it's really fun. I'm having a really good time.
No, dude, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Like, when you called me and we were talking, and I just said, dude, you got to do it. 'Cause the impressions, it's like, it's almost a sin to have the impressions and what you're doing and just not have it out there. And like, you know, I'm telling everybody, and I'm going to tell everybody to tell everybody. 'Cause, I think you're one of the most underrated, talented guys. And anybody listening, man, check out Jeff Richards. Do you have any? You're not doing any dates right now, right?
No.
Yeah. Thanks for making me feel like a piece of shit that I am. You're like, no, Paul, I care about humanity. So no, I.
No, I mean, I can't travel right now. I gotta take care of my family a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a family or no?
Yeah, mom and uncle out in Burbank. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. You oh, so wow, your mom's out there.
Yeah.
In Burbank. So they left. They went south.
Yeah, they went south. Yeah, after SNL, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I will be December 18th, guys. I will be at LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, the 18th through the 20th. It's going to be super safe, social distance. They're taking temperatures. They're going to have private tables of your party set aside away from people. There's going to be the whole deal. They're doing it. I would not be going otherwise, but I am bringing the new hour. I'm excited about that. So come out and check that out. And my album, I'll say this is not my special. I'll say this is an album today. You can buy that right now on iTunes, Pandora, Spotify. And check out my Gun to Our Heads podcast, which I'd love to have you on, Jeff, because it's
love
always
to.
I'd love to have you on as one of the characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what we do on the show, Gun to Our Heads, is we basically take a topic, like Okay, so you're a just for an example, you're a family man. You have a wife, kids, the whole community loves you. The school knows you, all that. Would you rather, and this is just what we do on the show, gun to your head, you got to make a choice. Would you rather get caught cheating and lose your family and the whole community knows that you cheated on your wife and your kids find out and you're disgraced that way? Or you're fine with your family, no cheating, but you get caught masturbating in like a Kohl's parking lot. So you have so you have one of those. And then we argue, me and the guest, we take a side, or like we'll take what we want. And when we go over a topic, if I pick a side and I know you pick the other side, we'll just go a half hour of that. So maybe you as a character would be fucking hilarious.
Sure. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check out the Gun to Our Heads podcast. And yeah, get all my socials. Please follow Jeff Richards on all of his socials. Where can they follow you at?
At the Jeff Richards, Instagram, Twitter, and thejeffrichardsshow.com for the podcast.
Guys, check out his podcast. The impressions are, I mean, even how hilarious it was on this, you guys heard nothing because he's just the best. So check him out. And this has been episode 475. Until next week, I am out of here. Be safe, everybody.